Father, we are grateful this moment for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask that Thou would open the Word to us today, help us to lay hold of the truth that's before us, and grant, dear Lord, we pray, that understanding of the Word that will be effective in our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 13, which we are studying together. We were just yesterday introduced to the third person of the evil Trinity, who is called the false prophet. He is presented to us under the symbolism of a lamb which had two horns. We suggested to you that these two characteristics of the false prophet, he was like a lamb and he had two horns, are presented to us in this fashion that we might be able to understand the kind of character he actually was. We suggested to you as we were leaving you last time that he was a lamb-like creature, which indicates, of course, that he is going to be a docile creature. He is not going to be one who is blatant and outspoken, as is the Antichrist. He is not going to be domineering. He is going to win the people by quietness and by guile. He is going to be as meek as a lamb. And that's the reason why he is presented to us in the form of a lamb. But you will remember the symbolic picture of this individual, whom we are calling the false prophet, suggests that also he had two horns. We have already learned in our study of the Word of God that horns are a symbol of power. This individual had two horns, which indicates that he had two sources of power, or he was characterized by two kinds of unusual power. We immediately ask ourselves, what kind of power did this particular false prophet have? And we notice, if we glance at verse 12, exactly what the twofold power was. And he that exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now notice the phrase, all the power of the first beast. That phrase represents civil authority or civil power, because that is the power that the first beast or the Antichrist had. Our scripture then tells us that the false prophet would have this same civil power. Now, how did he, as the individual about whom we are thinking, actually exercise this civil power? Well, let us anticipate ourselves for a moment without going into too much detail, and notice verse 16 of chapter 16. Verse 16 of chapter 13. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. He had such civil authority that he could command that any individual who did not worship the Antichrist should starve to death. The second kind of power was what we might call a religious or ecclesiastical power, because in the last part of verse 12, you will notice, and he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. The first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, the first beast, of course, was the Antichrist. The phrase, whose deadly wound was healed, is in reference to what we have already learned, that the Antichrist will be killed while he is on the earth and will be brought back to life, just as was the Lord Jesus Christ. We will learn in a moment or two that how it is the false prophet brings the worship of the Antichrist to the whole world. Let us go back to verse 11 and notice the last thing suggested by him in that verse. Revelation 13, verse 11, "And he spake as a dragon." Now, you have never heard a dragon speak, have you? You wonder exactly what it means when you realize that he spoke as a dragon. You'd like to know. Well, glance over at verse 2 of chapter 13, where we read concerning the Antichrist, "And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority." In verse 5, you will read what the dragon gave the Antichrist. "There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies." And in verse 6, you read, "He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven." Now, if you keep all of these thoughts in mind, you should realize that when we read in verse 11 that the false prophet spake like a dragon, we are to understand that the dragon caused the false prophet to speak in the same way that he caused the Antichrist to speak, words of blasphemy and words which would belittle our God and our Christ. You are keeping in mind, I trust, that the dragon is none other than the devil himself. Will you notice in verse 13 how he exercises that second kind of power represented by the second horn with which he is presented in verse 11? Verse 13 reads, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." Now, these verses of Scripture tell us several things. They tell us that the false prophet was a miracle worker, and that he could perform great miracles, described in this verse as great wonders. We are told in verse 14 that by these miracles, on appointed dates, he deceived the multitudes of people. It would seem from this 14th verse that they had periodic times when they gathered together, and the Antichrist dignified the occasion by his presence, and the false prophet performed great miracles in the sight of the beast. The phrase "in the sight of the beast" in verse 14 is deeper than it appears on the surface. It means that the Antichrist was there by appointment, and the false prophet performed these various miracles in his presence, all with the idea of directing worship, as we shall see, to this Antichrist. One of the miracles that the false prophet was able to perform is mentioned specifically in verse 13. He was able to make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of all men. Here again, we have something deeper than appears on the surface. This is not a simple statement that he was able to bring fire down from heaven, though it is what it means. But it means on a special occasion, the false prophet brought fire down from heaven with the purpose of deluding the people who were living in the tribulation. Now, I wonder, when was that particular occasion? When could it have been? When will the occasion be, more accurately, since it is still future? If you will turn back to Revelation chapter 11, you will refresh your minds concerning two witnesses whom God permits to come upon the earth for the purpose of representing him during the tribulation. We have not tried to identify these two witnesses other than to make some suggestions about them. We told you that they may be Enoch and Elijah. We told you that they might be Moses and Elijah. We are sure that one of them is Elijah for reasons which we have already presented. Moses and Elijah, to prove their call from God, used fire called down from heaven to accomplish their purpose. This verse in chapter 13, where we read, "He maketh fire come down from heaven in the sight of all men," would indicate that at one time during the tribulation, there will be a great display of power when these two witnesses will call fire down from heaven. This false prophet will imitate their miracle, calling fire down from heaven, calling on the same one that Elijah did when he called together the prophets of Baal one day and said, "Let the God that answereth by fire be God." You will remember that in that instance God answered by fire, and all the priests of Baal were slaughtered because the people recognized that God was God. We are told in chapter 13 that the false prophet will do the very same thing that the two witnesses are able to do, that he might deceive all the people that are living on the earth. We thank God today. Our faith lies in Jesus Christ. Does yours? Our time is gone and we must leave you now. Remember to pray for us, and may God bless each one of you today.